Anyways,
hell yeah, man.
Yeah, sorry I'm late. I spilled an entire drink on myself. It was pretty fun.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, luckily I
what's
have a
the spell?
backup. A rock star?
Horchata? A rock
No,
star?
That would be so
A
sad.
Mexican Coke. I
Yeah,
dropped the
Mexican.
coca de botella on me.
And then
You
but it didn't spill though because I didn't have a bottle opener.
just try to do it
So
with your teeth.
with a lighter, fool.
Have
Hell
you
yeah.
ever seen? You know what? I can never perfect the lighter.
Dude, my homeboy can do it hella good. I can do it. I always cut my finger.
Yeah, I think I broke a lighter once because
Yeah,
I
I
couldn't
shut
do
my
it
finger.
correctly.
Yeah. My friend can fucking open a lighter with anything, dude. He just like, I mean, open a bottle with anything. He just like hits his hand on anything and just the angle that he does it at. I
Well,
mean, I guess
yeah.
he's very good at, that motion.
Yeah.
I've seen some pretty I've done a couple. Like I've opened a bottle, I've opened a beer or like a bottle with the spoon.
With a spoon?
With a
What? You
spoon,
never
yeah.
thought? It's just leverage. I mean, just leverage at that point. Same as
Pretty
a spoon's
much,
probably the
yeah.
same as a lighter.
But I don't know, something I don't know. I guess I can grip the spoon a lot better. I don't know what it is,
Yeah,
but for some reason
you got that kung fu grip or
yeah.
what?
That Bruce Lee grip. I don't know. For
Oh,
some reason, the lighter I can never do. I can do the knife.
yeah. You just stab it.
Just stab it
You
open.
just stab
Threaten it. You just
it
threaten it.
open.
Just threaten it. Threaten its family.
You do Mexican judo. Do you know if I have a knife? Do you know if I have a gun? Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Hypothetical Comedy Podcast. I am Funky Sam Medina.
And I am Athena
And
Rodriguez.
we're here with comedian Chava De Leon. What's up, Chava?
What's up, man? How are you guys?
Dude, I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Dude, so right off the bat, I wanted to ask you if your name was Salvador. Because I was like, Chava's got to be short for something, And I started looking it up, and all I was getting was Chavo Guerrero. There's only three famous Chavos. Two of them are Guerreros, and one of them is like a writer or something.
Oh, really? I thought one of them
Yeah.
was
Maybe
like a
a
bull
slicker.
rider or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. I forgot what the third one was, but I was surprised there's only three famous Chavos.
well,
Hell
I'm
yeah, man.
Chava.
You're Chava. So that's where
Chava.
I didn't find any Chava. So tell us about Salvador being Chava.
Don't know. That's just like a that's a name that's followed me my whole life. I never really
Yeah.
asked about it. Everyone I talked to would always tell me like it's like one of those like that those names that are like secondary to your name. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
some people are Robert, they call him Bob.
Right. Yeah.
Or Richard, they call him Dick.
Yeah.
You
How do you
know,
get Dick from
hey, there's
Richard?
Dick over there, and his name's Richard.
My
So
friend,
it's
my friend was waiting like 10 years for somebody to say, "How do you get Dick from Richard?" And then he says, finally says,
just
"I don't know, but let me know if you find out."
like
Wow.
that'd be funny if like
What a payoff.
no one calls like our president that like Dick Nixon. That would
Dick
have been
Nixon.
hilarious.
I thought it wasn't going to be Salvador because when I was trying to figure out why Chavo's name, his name is Salvador, but why it was Chavo, they said that Chavo meant like the boy or like the guy.
Something
Ooh.
like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I never really ask questions. And then there's Chavo, and then there's Chava. So I'm like,
Right.
I
I mean, they're
don't know,
similar
bro.
though, right?
I think so, yeah. I don't know.
You could just be Chava Guerrero Jr.
That'd be chill.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Speaking of wrestling, I saw you recently at Monday Night Raw.
Yeah,
Are you
man.
looking
Looking
are
dope.
you are you a big Triple H cosplayer?
No, but I always wanted that specific jacket. Like
That's tight, man. It looks so
ever since he wore
cool.
it, it was.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't cool. I'm sure it was very warm. Is that
It's
two jackets or is it one?
one, but it's like a vest.
Oh.
It's like a leather jacket. And it's like a vest. So it's kind of like one of those like punk rocker vests, those like heavy metal vests where you just put a bunch of patches on it.
Yeah,
So it's like
that's
one of
cool.
those. And I bought it. Originally, I saw it when I went to WrestleMania. And then I was
22
like,
2015.
no. Last year when I went,
Oh, you went
when
to
they were in
WrestleMania
LA.
last year?
Yeah.
Where was it?
When they were in LA.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So that was my first time in LA too. I was a little,
Wow.
Oh, wow.
yeah, I didn't get to like explore anything. I was pretty bummed about that.
Yeah, well, you got WrestleMania, but, so that's good.
I know. But I saw one of those, and I was like, they had the big Triple H patch in the back, and I was like, you know, I don't really want this as a – I want this as a regular jacket. I don't want it as a wrestling jacket. So I just dismissed it, and then they sold out, and I was like, damn it, I should have bought it. and then I just regretted it for, like, maybe, like, 8 or 9 months. Like, later on in the year, and then they announced that they restocked some, and they were selling some online, and I was like – I'm buying it. I don't care. I'm buying it.
Oh, oh wow. That's cool, man. It's such a 2002 beautiful day returning from his quad injury.
Yeah.
Good times.
I'm surprised he didn't wear it more often. He only wear it for like a couple times, didn't he?
I don't know. I thought he wore it for a little while during that era.
Well, maybe like not his whole run.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's cool, man.
Where'd you guys sit at?
What's that?
Where'd you guys sit at when you went to Raw?
Oh, dude, we were in like 115 or something like that, 115. And we were we were in the bottom section, but the last row. And so I had the brick wall behind me, so I was able to like stand up for most of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know, I got those fucking, my friend got the damn nosebleeds. And I just hate climbing up those stairs, man.
Oh, dude, me too. I was having a little bit of a panic attack in that building because I was like, dude, if like there's a huge ass earthquake right now, we're all gonna be dead. And then I started having a panic attack, and then I was like, wait a minute, just have fun, worry about that later. Worry about that.
Yeah.
It was a good time though. I had to get up and go to the bathroom at one point, and then I missed like it's like Candice LeRae's tag team match before she turns heel.
I liked it.
Dude, tell me this about that Raw that we saw you at. Okay, so that was right after Elimination Chamber. And Nia Jax to this thing where she landed square on her butt.
Yeah.
And I was going, my hole. And nobody did it with me. And then she did it again on the apron and gave us a second chance to chant my hole. And nobody still chanted my hole with me. I'm so sad about that. I really wanted to. Dude, I didn't realize this, but it's my life goal to chant my hole.
Oh,
I just realized that today. Not today, that day.
Maybe you should take a sign next time.
Yeah.
And I just put my hole.
With a big circle in the middle?
Yeah.
A big circle.
Like a donut.
Ew.
And then I'll put.
Put a donut at the bottom.
I'll put actual footage of Nia's butthole.
We'll make a paper ball of her falling on it.
Oh, like, that's a good idea. Then we'll rip it by the butt.
Oh my!
You know what the funny part is? I was actually gonna miss that Raw because like I wasn't really. I was like, you know what? I'll miss it. I don't really have the need to go to it, and I'm kind of short on money. But then my friend was like, "Come on, let's go. I'll buy the tickets." And I was like, "All right, say no more."
Dude, it was funny because we weren't gonna go either. Wow. Like I was like, oh yeah, Ross and San Jose all the time, whatever. And then our friends really want us to go with them. And so we're like, all right, we'll go, you know, fuck it. And it was a really good time. We had a good time.
It was so fun. Shout out to our friends, the Webbers.
Yeah, and shout out to all of our son that's gonna be born at some point.
Ooh. Wait, what?
Cody did a gender reveal after the show was over. And he said, it's all of our baby. Like,
what the heck are you talking about?
It's all of our baby.
Just say stadium baby.
Stadium baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Cody misspoke. That wasn't a stadium. That was an arena.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, well, I guess.
So Chava, you, where were you born? And were you born in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I was born here in Fremont.
Oh, shit. Nice. In that same room you're in?
Yeah, pretty much. it was a bedroom birth. It was a water birth.
You gotta like those water births sometimes.
Yeah.
Mine was a trash birth. My mom was laying a pile of trash when I was born. I'm just kidding.
They drop me on the floor.
They put up real nice in a dumpster and shit. No, I'm just kidding. That's cool, man.
I was born here in Fremont. Lived like I'd say most of it, but there was a portion and when I was younger where we had to move a lot because you know my mom was single mom at the time and money was tight, so we had to move. A couple times we lived in with family, Once we lived in fucking we lived in Madera, which was actually pretty nice.
How old were you in Madera? Because one of my best friends lived there when I was a kid, and so I was there quite often.
We were there like a cup of coffee, honestly. But okay. We were there, I think I was like five or six when we lived there.
Okay, yeah. For me, it was like middle school.
Yeah, no. we were there, and then right after that, I remember some of his stuff like kind of a blur for me because I was so young. But then I remember at one point we lived in Stockton, and that's probably the worst place we've ever lived. We were only there for a little bit. Oh, yeah, because we lived in the hood. So like, we were in this apartment where like I remember vague memories of it, but I do remember a couple times we'd come home and like our place would be trashed because someone broke in. Yeah.
So sad.
Wow. And then like
scary.
Yeah.
It was scary. Yeah. I remember it was scary. And like you'd hear like some dude like beating his wife in like the next room and like the next unit.
Oh my god!
It was terrifying. And then at one point my mom bought us chickens. That was like our first pet, so we each got a chicken. And somebody broke in and stole my fucking chickens, and I never got over it.
Oh my god!
That's fucked up.
I've had a vendetta for them.
I can see why you don't like. I can see why you don't like Stockton.
Holy,
it's been 20 years, bro.
Yeah. We won't ask you to do our show in Stockton.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we it's host funny because an open mic in Stockton.
We're in Stockton a lot right now because we're doing the mic there. Yeah. It's always like, Stockton is so nice. I want to live here. And I'm like, no, it's not. But it's a nicer area, probably.
I don't know.
They're like fixing it.
I don't know.
They're fixing it up, aren't they? A little bit, like little by little.
They're probably, they're gentrifying it.
It still kind of looks scary, but I feel like, yeah.
Well, I went recently.
It's San Jose in the 90s for me, scary right now. You know, like that's what it feels like. And I feel like I could handle it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. Let's go to Colorado.
I went there like maybe like a year or two ago.
Colorado?
I wish I could just stand up out of state. I went to Stockton and I was in like the downtown area and it looked all right. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not. I mean, it's not horrible. Yeah. Tracy's getting worse and worse, so that's fun.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. One of my cousins lives over there, and he keeps sending me stuff about like cops are always down his neighborhood, and he lives in a nice neighborhood.
It's so weird.
Yeah, unfortunately we live in a nice neighborhood too here, but like it's a lot of the people from the Bay Area that can't afford to live in the Bay Area are moving to Tracy, which you know us included.
Yeah. But
a lot of them are like, you know, bringing crime with them and stuff like that. So it's almost like a crime. So yeah, it's crazy.
No, they found out that a lot of the crime is from people from different towns and cities. Like they arrest people here and they're from like Dublin.
Dang.
Or they're from San Francisco.
Let's go to Tracy and blend in.
It's so crazy. They do, man.
That's wild. That's cool, man. So you ended up back where you kind of started. How did you get into stand-up comedy as like just like discovering it and stuff?
I was always kind of one of those like rambunctious kids. I was a little bit of like a Tasmanian devil growing up. So
I could see that.
I got that going for me. And then when I first started to do stand-up, or I first thought about it, I remember I had watched, I think it was at a cousin's house, or maybe it might have been at home, but I had watched George Lopez's Why You Crying.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah, that's such a good special. And even like as a kid, like just as a little Mexican kid, like I knew what this dude was talking about.
Yeah.
Like it was that relatable that even 9-year-old me was like, yes, my mom does that.
Exactly.
Yes, I've seen people do that.
It came out that long? Oh yeah, you're pretty younger than me, I forgot.
I was shocked to find out you were like 40.
I was probably like 15, 16, something like that. I remember we're at my friend's house and his parents were watching it. And I was just like laughing so hard. And my friend's like, what? And I'm like, dude, this is great.
Yeah. And then like I would watch it every time it was on Comedy Central back when they showed stand up.
Yeah. And just, like when MTV showed music.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think at one point I started like memorizing it, and then like everybody on the playground, they watched it. So like we would always just like, I can't breathe. Grandma, I can't breathe.
the pain in my chest.
We would start quoting it. Why are you crying? I barely hit you.
Oh my gosh.
So thanks, so Matt.
Buddy, dude. I can see you being a little ass kid running around going, dude. Why are you crying?
Especially if it's like other little Mexican kids are like saying the same thing. Yeah. So like try shutting all of us up. You couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then little by little throughout my teens, I was watching a bit more stand-up, and like I was a big fan of the roast. So yeah, I liked watching the Celebrity Comedy Central roast. Yeah. And then I was slowly being like a little comedian with my friends, trying to do like a set, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, whenever, that's
like,
cool, man.
Around the like table and shit. And sometimes it works, sometimes it wouldn't. And sometimes they're like, Chava, just shut up, stop.
That's what you gotta do, especially when you're starting off in comedy and you weren't even that far yet. But like when you're starting off in comedy, you just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's,
even the bad shit. Like,
dude, it's just anything that pops in your head, you're just throwing it out there. And you're just like, you're not even worried about consequences yet. You're just worried about laughs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, eventually I found a mic. It was Tommy T's.
Okay, Tommy T's, nice.
One summer I just decided, like, fuck it, I'm just going to go do it. I'm just going to go give it a shot.
How old were you?
I was 17. I was still
high school. Wow, that's it?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That is so wild. Oh my God. I don't even have the nerve now.
Yeah, how did you have the nerve at 17 to get in front of a crowd of people?
You know what? I always wanted to perform in some way. And like, I kind of was hoping this would like, I kind of wanted to act too. So I was also like, maybe this would like help me try to do acting too. So I was trying to do that, but I just always wanted to perform in like some way, shape, or form.
And so it's like I finally found where I need to be.
Yeah. So I was like, this seems like a good way to finally live that dream.
Yeah. So sorry, go on.
No, it's just I went up one summer and I had to pay him $20 to drive me to my first open mic.
And you had to pay $5 to get on the mic, probably.
And I had to pay $5. I didn't know that till I got there. And I was like, you got $5.
I'll pay you back. Can I just borrow it again? I know you got it. I just gave it to you.
For real. Can you just take a little bit off the top?
The Tommy T's open mic can be a little bit chaotic. Just because it's like go, go, go. It's like pretty quick. And if you don't finish your time on time, then they just cut you off and go to the next person. Do you remember it? Do you remember if you were like super intimidated?
I was so scared. I'd never done anything like that before. I've never talked in front of people. I've never tried to be like funny, like in that form, like, you know, like an actual audience setting. It was just between me and my friends.
Yeah, just you and your friends before.
Yeah. And so like, I remember I had my jokes and everything. I think I was just like speeding through it, but I was still just like, you could tell I was nervous. You can tell I'm like having a straight up anxiety attack up there. Damn. And then I was able to do, I think, my 4 minutes. Honestly, I think that as soon as they turned the light off, I was like, all right, that's it. Thank you.
That's okay. She still does that.
Yeah. Those jitters never go away. But I remember I was so nervous. I couldn't put the mic back on the mic stand. And like, it was to that point where like I'm up there and I'm fidgeting with it and I feel embarrassed because I can't do something as simple as put a mic back on the mic stand. So I just dropped it and I walked off.
Oh shit, you dropped it.
Yeah, I just like full on dropped it and I just like ran off the stage.
Oh wow.
I was that nervous.
Did you get in trouble for that, for dropping the mic?
I think the guy was just a little not agitated. I think it was just like a little like agitated. Like, was like, but he didn't get mad. He didn't come up to me. He was like, what the fuck, bro? Okay. Yeah, he didn't do anything like that. He just was like, all right. I think he kind of tell like this was his first time. So I think the guy cut me a break.
Yeah, that's cool. I've seen producers.
To me.
You dropped the mic?
No,
you dropped the mic.
It was where like the mic stand. I was like putting the mics back, right? I'm putting it back and I'm closing up, and it just went poof, and it like wouldn't let me like make it stand up, and then I had to just kind of
slowly lay it down
like a dork.
That was also at Tommy T's. The mic stand like just died and it wouldn't stand up anymore during her set.
I just felt so mortified because I was just like,
I just leaned up against the wall. I mean, that's not that big of a deal. Like, you know, the mic stand, I mean, I work there, so I know that the mic stand wasn't, it was always an issue. They were trying to fix it like almost all the time. And it's like, just buy a new mic stand.
Oh, I know. And then like the weird part is like you would try to adjust it, but then you couldn't. So it'd be like that other thing where it's like you can't. Like, you just look stupid. You can't even do something simple, like adjust the mic stand. So you just, like, screw it. And you just take the mic off the mic stand.
Hell yeah. That's cool. So
I'm not a...
Did you continue pursuing comedy after?
Yeah. Wait. How did it go? Did they laugh? Did it make you feel like, did you get enough laughs to make you go, oh, yeah, I want to do this again? Or did you not get laughs and go, oh, my God, that was so horrible. I probably won't do it again until maybe 3 months later.
I remember I got a couple laughs because I was obviously just doing like dick jokes, just talking about like just stupid things. And I remember I got a couple giggles and I did it again. I think I maybe did it like two more times. One time it went pretty well, and then this other time I bombed hard. And it was like a full room. It was weird because it was like a full room for an open mic.
Oh, dang.
And this kid goes up right before me and just destroys because he's younger than me. He's like 12, 13. And he's doing like dirty jokes and stuff. And I go up and I'm still nervous. So like I zoom all the way through my set. So they give you 4 minutes. I did two. Yeah. And I was just up there like,
I've done that. I mean, I've done that with like experience, a little bit of experience, you know, where like you just run through your material like so fast. You're like, okay, now what do I say?
Yeah. And at the time, like I had nothing else but just like the maybe little jokes that I had.
Yeah.
And I was just up there like, and so I just like walked off like in shame. And I think at that point, I didn't do it for like maybe like another year and a half.
Were you doing it only exclusively at the Tommy T's open mic?
Yeah.
At that point,
yeah.
That's all you knew, right?
A lot of my earlier stuff, yeah, was mostly like Tommy T's or wherever Bart can take me because I didn't have a car at the time.
That makes sense, yeah. So. And it's crazy because the Tommy T's open mic, like still to this day, it's people that you don't conventionally see at most mics. It's people that if they do it, they usually do it exclusively at that mic, which is crazy that it has such an aura about it that people – you know, only do it there.
Yeah, even when I was going there like 10 years ago, it was still like people, it was like a mixture of like people who were just doing it as a hobby, who just do it there. And then it was just like people who are actually trying to take it serious, like myself and a couple other people. And
I probably saw you there like it was 10, 12 years ago.
Maybe.
I would have been there to get mic too.
Yeah, maybe.
But I would have been an adult though, so I wouldn't have paid you any attention. I'd be like, who's this kid off the stage?
Probably, honestly. So probably but I managed to make a lot of friends that I'm still friends with today.
Oh, that's
that
cool.
We knew.
Nice.
And like some people, it's cool seeing them. They've advanced now. Like they're like on TV and shit now.
Isn't that wild, dude, that people like, you know, people you start off with, you're like, they're so high up in the comedy scene now.
I know those fuckers.
Yeah, it's better than me. It's bittersweet, right? Because you're happy for them. But you're also like looking at yourself going, what happened?
Nah, it's good because, you like to see your friends. Even if you guys don't talk anymore, you're still like, hey, I started off with that guy. Now look at him. He's on Letterman.
Right. Exactly. So physically, they're married now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So you said that you had that really bad bombing moment and you stopped comedy for like a year and a half. What is it that made you get back into it?
I was just still had that itch. I still wanted to give it another shot. Yeah. Still wanted to give it another shot. I still was just like, still had that, like, I want to be funny mentality still with like my friends and stuff. And so, again, I just wrote another set of jokes and I just went back and just kind of like started over again.
Did you go back to Tommy T's or did you go to like more bar mics at that point?
No, it was Tommy T's. I was still underage.
That makes sense.
I couldn't get into bar mics yet.
That makes sense. I forgot about that.
I tried. I think there was like one or two that let me in, but they were like, you got to stay outside. Yeah. But then there were a couple that were just like, no, you go home.
The Comedy Store in like maybe 2016, they were letting people underage come in, but they're like, oh, you can only perform and then you got to leave. And then like around 2015, they changed it where like, you're not even going to be in the building.
Oh, shit. They still let them perform though?
No, not even. Reason why we're so familiar with that is because there was a regular on Kill Tony in the early days who was like 19. And then she got kicked off the show because she got banned from the Comedy Store until she turned 21.
No, okay.
And then she came back, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember I tried to do, you remember Thor Club?
No, I don't think so.
It's like a music venue, but somebody was doing like a mic there. And the guy asked me for my ID and like, I showed him my ID that says I'm like 19, 20. And he's like, nah, bro, we can't let you in. And I'm trying to negotiate with this guy, like, hey, can you just like let me go up first? I'll do 5 minutes, I'll leave. No, bro, I can't let you in. I'm like, come on, bro, you can put the X on my hands and I won't drink and I'll wait outside. He's like, no, man, I can't let you in. So I just had to like walk. And it was sucks that I dragged my cousin with me. So like he had to come all the way out there with me for nothing.
Was your cousin, it would be funny if your cousin was over 21 and they're like, peace out, Chavo.
He was over 21. He could have hella done that.
That's his car. Wait for me in the car. I'll let you know how the show goes.
I think there was once he actually did that where I dragged him to another bar mic and I wasn't 21. I just had to wait outside and he's inside having a beer. I didn't care. I was like, I'm more into my set, so I don't even care.
Wow. Yeah.
Cool. I still had those like, am I gonna do good jitters, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, I still have those and I've been doing it for too long.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to those go into go before, you know, when I was your when I was the age you're talking about, I guess. Not your age, the age you're talking about. I used to go to the Cactus Club and then it's long gone now. And my friends would like buy me drinks and shit. It's crazy, like, cause I was like 19, 20, and like my friends would like buy me drinks and they would leave it like at a random table and then I would just walk by and pick them up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Oh my
goodness. You're so sneaky.
I just say that because we're out of business. They can't find me now.
You're so sneaky. Wait, when did you start?
I started comedy in 2010.
Yeah. Oh, but shit.
Drinking, I started 1990.
Oh, my God.
It's been a blur since.
I started drinking when I was like 15.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, Mexican kid, grew up in a Mexican neighborhood.
Yeah. You probably were fed a beer when you were like two, honestly.
Right? Dude, yeah, absolutely. Right? I remember, you know, you always like, oh, beer tastes gross. And then you think about it a little bit more. Like, it tastes so gross.
this tastes familiar. Why do I feel like I've had this before? Why do I feel like I've had this many times?
Hell yeah. That's cool, so man. Silly.
Yeah.
So what I was started, that? Yeah. What was that?
I was gonna say you started in 2010. I started in 2011.
Oh, yeah, but you were a wee little baby.
I was a small one.
Yeah, I was an adult at that point. I had some hair on my chest, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, not as much as you probably, but I had some.
I was getting there. Just give me a couple of years.
So, what was it like for you when you started kind of expanding your horizons and like getting to the other mics and stuff and like? Going out into the world and doing comedy?
I don't know. It felt... that's a good question. It felt new and exciting at first. And then you get kind of used to it. And then sometimes, like, every mic and every show kind of just feels the same a bit. But it's like, I don't know. It always felt... I always get those first-time jitters. I mean, I always get those jitters. So, like, to me, it's always cool because, like, it still feels like the first time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no matter how big or how small the audience is, if I'm going up, I'm going to be nervous.
Yeah. I still get nervous to this day.
Yeah.
And then my friend was, before I started doing comedy, one of my friends was like, I was like, oh, I'm too nervous to do comedy. I'm not going to do it. I'm too nervous. And he was telling me that Tim Brown from the Raiders said that, you know, because he's legendary. He said that, I guess a long time ago, he said the day when he steps on the field and he doesn't have butterflies is the last day that he steps on the field of ever.
Yeah. I've heard something similar where like somebody said, I'd be scared if I wasn't afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it makes you human, I guess, to have those
nerves.
Cause I still, to this day, sometimes I'll talk myself off of a ledge. I've been doing comedy for like 12 years, 13 years.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, calm down. You're funny. Yeah. People are here to laugh. You're going to be fine. Like sometimes I got to talk myself out of it, out of being nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. There's times where I've had shows and like, I'd have like a full on panic attack on the way to the show, like on the drive. Even like the day before, I'm like, fuck, tomorrow's the show. What am I gonna, do good? And I would have a panic attack going to the show. And then I would do pretty good. And then I'd get off and I'd be like, what the hell was I even panicking about? Like that was amazing. Right.
I feel the same like, way sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll do my set and I'm like, okay, now I can relax.
Yeah. You're like, now I can have a beer.
So you said that you stopped doing comedy and then you wrote more jokes and you started doing comedy again. What's your writing style like? How do you just sit down and write?
When I was first starting out, I was probably terrible, like everybody. I was so used to being like, you know, I tried too hard to be like a shock jock. I tried to be one of those guys. But as far as my writing style now goes, I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. I guess I try to just notice things and just write them down and just see if I can make a joke out of them. Yeah. Or just like if I can make something kind of like fun and witty, like a one-liner or something, I try. But I think for the most part, yeah, I just try to like if I have an interesting day, you know, I try to figure out how I can do it, put it in a set, you know. I guess for the most part I just notice things and then I just try and turn it into something.
Hell yeah. I'm kind of the same way. Like I feel like I'm an inspired writer. Like if I say something funny or if I, you know, think of something funny, I'll like find a way to kind of reverse engineer it, right? I'll be like, okay, this is funny, so this is the punchline. How do I get there? You know?
Oh yeah.
So I do that a lot too.
I used to do this thing where I would write the punchlines only. And then I would fill in the rest on stage.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That's scary.
Yeah, that was scary.
That's like riffing and improv.
That is riffing. How's your riffing and improv skills then?
Not the best. Oh, I don't know. I guess it depends.
Did that work out for you, writing the jokes on stage? Or is that just a nightmare?
I don't know. I want to be one of those comics that could just go off. Honestly,
yeah, we all
just hand them a mic and they could just give you a funny 10-20 minutes.
But see, comedians are the ones that have material that they've written that you don't think that they wrote it.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's just like a pro wrestling, you know, it's the whole kayfabe thing,
yeah, it's like, yeah, it's or even then, it's like, I don't know, when you're up there, you realize you can add more to it.
Mm. Oh yeah, I do that too. I write a lot of tags on stage.
Yeah,
and it's like I don't even know where they come from, dude. Sometimes they just come out of my mouth. Like I do this joke, I can't really do it anymore because it's kind of like a domestic violence joke.
Oh my god!
Where I say I saw this post on Facebook that said real men don't hit women, but then I noticed it was posted by a woman, and I'm like, what is she about being a real man? So I hit her. Right. And then I told that joke, and then one day I was telling that joke on stage, and then it just came out of my mouth where I said, you know, I saw this guy in the audience stand. One time I told that joke, I saw this guy in the audience stand up and hit this girl, and I was like, well, that's my fan. And then I wrote another tag later on where I say, and then after the show I signed his fist.
Okay, that last part was funny.
So yeah, I like to write tags on stage.
That's a real punchline.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. Hell yeah. I did that joke one time in Oakland at like, you know, this like gentrified bar or whatever. I don't even know
what it was. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, they hated it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I'm always scared to tell. I'm like traumatized.
He got the heat.
Yeah. Yeah, those mics are always weird. Like when you go to like the mixed, like gentrified ones.
Yeah.
Those are always weird because like they're not very welcoming for comedians. Like they'd rather hear music or poetry, and you go up and you try and even if you do like clean stuff, they're still like we're just like the ugly stepkids of open mics.
Yeah, dude, I did this joke one time because I don't know if you went to the Bamboo Lounge. That's probably before your time. Well, you started around the same time as me. But you couldn't get in. You were outside.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
And then we were doing a Monday night mic at Pete's Coffee beforehand. Was it Pete's Coffee? Phil's Coffee, in downtown. Phil's Coffee. But we got kicked out because the comics took over.
Yeah.
And it was, it was a music mic. And they go, oh, yeah, we'll let some comedians go up. And then before you know it, it was all comedians.
Like cockroaches.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I did a joke where I said comedians are like cockroaches in the open mic scene. You know, first you see one or two, and then before you know it, we just take over.
Yeah. We're like the homeless people. Like, once you give us, like, 5 minutes, we just keep coming back and back and back.
Yeah. Just don't like, feed
no, us. Don't feed the comedian.
Actually, do feed us because we're broke.
Don't give free water. Just let them dehydrate.
Free water.
Just put let them dehydrate.
Let them get cotton mouth before they go up.
Oh my gosh.
Hell yeah. Have you got any cool exciting places to do comedy? Have you gone to any cool exciting places?
Yeah, I've gone a few. I've done stand up in I forgot what that park was, but there's like a park in downtown San Jose.
Ooh,
Chavez Park.
I think so. Yeah, where there's like a now.
Oh,
like
is it like is it like the festival? It's the down, okay, that's
now.
Was that?
It's down the street from the Improv.
Okay, so yeah, probably is Chavez Park then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done it there. They were doing like a mic community thing there. I've done it there. Yep. I've done it. Have you done? You remember Sweet Spot?
Where
have you been there? There used to be a mic inside a strip club.
Oh no, I haven't. I have not.
No. It's long gone now. But there used to be a mic, like a late night mic, and it was inside a strip club.
Is that an SF?
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen like people talk about it and stuff, so I know of it.
It was at the Crazy Horse, and like you would go in
Crazy Horse.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
it was.
It was Detox's mic. The dude's name was Detox.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. Yeah, Detox. Yep.
And you would go like I remember going past this like all like the people like the champagne room, like everyone getting lapped at and stuff. And then you go down this dark hallway, and then you get to the end and you go up these stairs and you're in like another room and you could smoke weed in there. So like we were able to do stand up in there, and like it was just like a mixture of like club patrons and like strippers are coming up there smoking weed, like, and we're up there.
That's where they smoke. Where you guys are performing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Wow.
So there was still like they want to smoke. They have to watch.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's wow.
It was a funny thing. It was pretty good. But I think they had like COVID kind of messed it up, and I think they had like a change of management. So like, yeah. We lost that mic, but man, it was such a good mic. It was like late night, and you could go back to this room and just smoke weed and just watch the dancers. And what more can you want?
Yeah, no, that sounds cool. I mean, they're all no more ugly dudes.
Yeah.
If we have comedians, they have to be strippers.
Oh, my God.
Imagine stripping comedy. That'd be weird, right?
Stripping and comedy?
Yeah, like at the same time.
Oh my gosh, no.
Oh, that'd be
weird.
That'd be so weird.
You know what?
I don't have enough stamina for that.
Does that where you're naked already, though?
I'm sure people do that. Yeah.
I think so.
I've heard of a show and like a place has done it, like a nude resort. I've heard of that.
Whoa.
They've done like nude shows on Zoom to like raise money and stuff like that. But it's a lot easier for a guy to be naked on Zoom. I think. Because, like, you know, we just don't pan down.
Pretty much. Just don't get up. Just don't get up and walk away.
Exactly.
That's going to be the first event is don't pan down.
don't pan and then down.
The next one is don't get up. Just don't get up.
Just don't get up.
Hell yeah. You know, I've done stand up in at a Raider tailgate party.
Oh, whoa. Are you a Raider fan?
Yeah, I'm a casual Raider fan.
All right. Well, it was nice talking to you, Chava.
Oh, dang.
What was that tailgate party like? Besides gunshots.
It was cool. It was cool. Like, it was an actual, like, somebody, one of the comics put it on Bacon, and they're like, I'm going to be at the Raider game if anybody wants to do, like, some stand-up. And I was like, I'm already going to be at that game, so screw it. Why not? So
that's wild.
I went to do the mic, and he had like a whole like mic and stand set up and everything.
That's right. And
was it like in a parking lot or like in a room or what?
No, it was in a parking lot. It was like, oh, wow. He just had the speaker out of his truck, and then we were just up there just doing stand up.
How about them Raiders, you guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys? Was it mostly Raider jokes
or no, Niner no, jokes? I think I just stuck to my material.
Oh, nice.
You want to hear the best, one of the best football jokes ever? Probably the best football joke I ever heard.
Don't.
It's a Raider joke, too.
No, don't.
Mm-hmm. This is 2010. I don't know how far you go back, man.
This is
playing comedy. This guy was talking about Jamarcus Russell. You remember Jamarcus Russell?
Uh-huh.
He goes, I tell a lot of Jamarcus Russell jokes, and people tell me he hangs out around here, so then I start to get scared. Like, what if he sees me? What if he gets mad? What if he has a gun? What if he tries to shoot me? I guess I could just run a pass route. He'll never hit me. Dude, I love that. I still like know that joke word for word to this day. That's one of the first jokes I heard when I started doing comedy.
And they have that, Gabriel Iglesias had that one Raider joke where he said he was talking about the Raiders in Oakland and they're in the audience. And he's like, and they picked me up and they picked me up and tried to intimidate me. But luckily, they fumbled me and I got away.
Dang.
Nice. That's cool. Hell yeah, man.
What team are you most supportive of? The Niners?
Niners, yeah.
Okay. How'd you take that loss earlier this year?
You know, it was very, very bad. but I guess the loss that we had 2 years ago kind of prepared me for it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were doing good at first, and then all of a sudden,
both times,
the second half,
they started off really good, and they got, I don't know if they got overconfident or what happened, but yeah, it was wild, man.
I feel like the first time, back in 2020, they got overconfident because right after they did like that big,
big celebration, vote. Yeah,
that big celebration, and then it just went to hell after that, like they just got destroyed after that.
Yeah, they did. Like, the other team went in the back and they're like, we've got to turn it up, man. We got to turn it up a notch.
Yeah. They got that Bobby Boucher. That Bobby Boucher. pep talk.
Do you have anything, like any projects or anything you're working on in comedy? Anything coming up?
No, I have one show and I just got booked in one show in Hollister.
Oh, that's cool.
But I'm just like coming off a hiatus. Like I'm kind of like tipping my like not to just like kind of like testing the waters a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, we still really we're still kind of like, it's weird because we haven't really fully gotten back in since the pandemic. You know, we're still kind of in, but kind of not in. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah,
I get that. How was your your hiatus? Were you feeling burnt out or what?
Yeah, it's something I've kind of felt on and off for like the past couple of years. So it's like, it's like, yeah, I don't know. For some, like, at this point, I try to like take little breaks here and there. Yeah. It's not like my life depends on it right now. So I just need that break, I'm just like, I just go and just take that break.
That's cool. We took 3.5 years off. We got back into comedy in 2019, just before the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but you guys
understand about that.
We realized, you know, I mean, we thought we would never go back so soon or go back or have enough time, but then we realized, you know, it's now or never, and that's what we like doing, and we love being part of the community and helping each other and
seeing all of our cool comedian friends, sharing each other's
successes and stuff. I love it. It's just it's I don't know. Being a comedian really like makes me happy.
It's different.
It's like a shared experience, right?
Yeah.
Even like the level that I guess we're on, where we're just like kind of doing these really fun bar shows and, you know, making gas money or whatever, maybe a little more sometimes. Like, it's just so much fun. And it's just so like, it just feels good to like be on stage and get those laughs and stuff and have people like, oh, good job, good set, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a rush. It's definitely something you don't get out of a lot of things, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you can try. You don't get it out of a lot of things.
Yeah. Do you have any goals for the near future in comedy?
Ooh.
I want to open for somebody.
Okay.
I want to
open the door for somebody.
Oh my goodness.
Like, open the door?
Yeah.
Nice.
I opened the Morrell at the Improv when I was leaving.
Nice.
I opened for Sam Morrell.
We have a buddy, Drew Blues, who tried to pull that on Kill Tony. He told Tony Hinchcliffe, I opened for you one time. And Tony Hinchcliffe goes, if you opened for me, I would remember that. And he goes, no, I was working at the club. I opened the door for you. It's hella dumb.
It's funny.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I want to open for somebody. I would love to do like an actual like theater. Like, I want to do something that's like over 100 people.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
That's something I would like to do. I would like to do one day.
Yeah, that's cool. Hell yeah, man. So Improv, you already go there because it could fill up pretty good sometimes.
I did it once. Yeah, I did the first mic. I was like one of like the first like five.
Okay, nice.
And they were like working it out, but I haven't been back since. I've been back to watch shows, but I haven't really. They always do the mic on a day I work.
Yeah, it's tough because it's not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that too. And I'm like, is it worth it? Like, is it worth it just to be told, nah, you know, not tonight.
Yeah, I've only been on the Improv sold out. It was a sold out show one time, and it was 2011. And that's still like my like heyday, I guess. I was in front of 500 people at the Improv, man.
Yeah, lucky bastard, man. I'm jealous. Yeah. Is that like your crowning moment? You're like, yeah, well, I sold out the Improv. All right.
Yep, I was one of the guest sets. They all came for me. Hell yeah. And I've had the opposite of Tommy T's, where there's been a full sold out crowd of 300 people, and I'm standing in the back in front of and behind everybody because I'm security. That was
good. I guess maybe I did that one time. I bombed horribly at Tommy T's. I guess I did live that dream.
There was 100 people there when you bombed?
Yeah, it was like it was filled to the point where they had to open that side section. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
usually they have that curtained off, but they had to open that part up because there were so many people.
Holy wow.
One time I was at Rooster Teeth Feathers and had a really bad set and went outside and there was a more experienced comic outside. And I was like, man, I bombed my ass off in there. And he's all, dude, there's 25 people in there. You don't bomb in front of 25 people. Nobody's going to remember that.
Yeah.
That's a good point, actually. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good. I think one person told me, like, sometimes I'll be like, man, I bombed tonight. I did shitty. And he's like, bro, it's the mic. Like, you can't bomb at a mic.
That's true, too. You can't. Yeah.
Like, we're here to this is practice.
It's practice. It's like saying that you did. I struck out at baseball practice yesterday. It's like, who fucking cares?
It's like, practice. Bro, what are you even talking about? Like, this is practice. Relax.
That's a good point, too. That's true.
Yeah, it's a good reassurance.
To be fair, though, when I started, I didn't know the difference really between like open mic as practice and shows as shows. And then like I did the grave mistake, the forbidden thing you do not do. I invited all my friends to the open mic, the practice.
I mean, people do that. People
and
do
then
that.
They hated me and never went to any shows after.
We've done that. I've done that.
I mean, she invited me to them. She when we first like because we went her and I went to middle school together, and then we came back in contact, and she invited me to open mic, and I'm still around.
Well, because you wanted to do it.
That's true.
There's a difference.
They wanted to get far away from it.
Yeah. I think the thing is, like, if you're going to invite somebody to a mic, make sure it's, like, not one of the sad, depressing mics.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's a good point as well.
I think I made that mistake a couple times where I'm like, come out to this mic. And it's like a fucking dive bar.
Somebody's killing himself in the like corner and shit.
Three people are there. Yeah. I'm about to go up. Are you excited for me? And it's just.
You hear a gunshot. That was the last comic.
Yeah, exactly. The last comic killed himself.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Oh man, hell yeah!
Come out the pepper trees.
Those are the best mics. Just don't invite.
Those are, yeah. Those sometimes can be the best ones.
Yeah,
because it's like there's no pressure. So like you know, you could just go off and you could just do whatever. You could try a joke you never tried. You can, you know, try to do something, like try to say it a certain way, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get into the Zoom comedy at all?
A little bit. I think I did your guys' mic a couple times.
Nice.
But it wasn't, you know, I'm kind of on that boat where I'm like, well, it wasn't the same, and I know it's like circumstances, like we're all trying to do our best, but at that point, I was like. For most of the year, I was like, I think this is my hiatus.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people take it that way, and it's not the same. I know, I agree with that completely. It's not the same at all. It's different.
Yeah,
it's a lot different. There's a lot of different cues, a lot of different nuances that you have to, you know, be aware of and stuff. Timing is a lot different, dude. The first time I did a mic in person after the pandemic, it was like insane because. On the Zoom, there's like a 5 second, you know, 5 to 10 second delay when I talk. And then when you laugh, there's another 5 to 10 second delay. So when I do a joke, there's like at least 10, 15 seconds of silence before laughter.
Yeah.
And so when I was in person for the first time, I told a joke and there was instant laughter. And I was like, holy shit, this is a foreign concept.
It is funny because it's like when you're doing it on Zoom, like you're saying, like, you know, like sometimes you pause when you do a punchline so like you can let people laugh and it's like on Zoom it's like you can't tell, so you just do that pause and you're just like standing there like
yeah because that delay
you got that delay, so it just felt so like demeaning and then just like
oh my god,
it's funny because like, I say that too, I use it as a joke and I literally use the word demeaning for it.
It just felt like you're like how do I put this? It's like you're trying to be like, oh, that's the part where you guys laugh. And then,
I mean, I've had to tell people that in person too. So,
yeah.
No, that's the funny part. That's the funny part. Not that's the setup where you did laugh.
Mm.
The punchline part, dude. Like I do this joke where I talk about I look like the ugly guy on Pawn Stars. And that's just a setup, dude. And they fucking laugh every time. And I go, I'm offended about how hard you guys laughed at that point, that setup.
Like Chum Lee? You look like Chum Lee?
That's what, I
always.
Mean,
they always shout it out.
Somebody always shouts it out. Too. Yeah. But the punchline, with my comedy, I like to like pull the rug out. I like to surprise you. And so like the punchline for that is, oh, great. I look like the entire cast of Pawn Stars. Because they're all ugly.
Yeah. You know, well, you got hair.
It's true.
Most of them are like balding at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Dang.
Yeah. I really watched it. I just like to talk shit.
Yeah.
Honey, we know.
Hell yeah. Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Chava. It's been super fun talking to you.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. You want to plug some social media?
I guess you could just find me on Instagram, Chava, Chava, _DeLeon, DeLeon, on Instagram.
Hell yeah, you can find me. Oh, sorry. I talked over you, man.
Yeah, no. We've been doing that a lot. It's that ADHD in me.
It's the power of Zoom.
And it's that ADHD in me. I try not to, but
it happens.
But yeah, I'm random on there, so don't take anything serious.
You can find me across the board at Funky Sam Medina.
Oh, and you can find me at She Shines For You, all spelled out, no numbers.
And everything else is that hypothetical comedy. Awesome, Chava. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. I guess take care.